You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
Hey, Kelly.
Yes, Steve.
I have a... This is going to have to come up at the 7 o'clock, 7:30 spot. I have a new riddle for you.
Oh, yes. My. Is this from the Riddler?
Yes.
The young Riddler?
The young
Riddler,
the young man in my life who brings me the riddles. And this time he's already clued his teacher in about what's going to happen. And hey, buddy, I'm sharing this with my dad, who's going to share this on the air. And so, yeah.
So I'm the one that gets to be queried, and I'm probably the one who's going to have to do the walk of shame for not getting it right in about, 40 minutes from now?
Yeah, about 40 minutes, yep.
Wow.
And you know what the great thing is?
Feels like Monday.
What? I just get to be a hero to my kid.
That is the great thing.
I get to be the hero to my kid.
Oh, you're already a hero to your kid.
Greatest thing in the world. Oh, my goodness. I hear some jingling and jangling. It sounds like... that in the background there, we must have Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away. Did they? Hello? Hello?
Yes, they do. Oh, oh. Yes, you do. And yes, they do.
Look,
oh, my
at
goodness.
That.
How are you?
Well, we're wonderful. How are you?
We're good. I'm good. I'm very good. Back here in Indiana. Woo-hoo. Nice warm weather.
Just in time for the ice that made no sense.
I just had to do my best going to pile.
Nancy, can you come pick me up? Or come pick Steve. Oh, just come get one of us. I don't care.
I'm going to send somebody to get Steve. Definitely.
All right. Okay. Enough plotting, you two. Let's get to the biblical worldview question of the week.
Let's do it.
It's
All
a
right.
good one.
What is the false gospel, Nancy? What is it? We hear about it.
Yeah, and sadly enough, not only do we hear about it, but the Christian community pretty much is living it out in so many different areas, and it's alarming. And so that is the question of the week. What is the false gospel? Is there such a thing? And the answer is yes, there is. You know, the people of Galatia were much like the Christians today. They were influenced far more by the worldly culture than the words and teachings of Jesus. And the thing about them is they had heard directly from Paul. He had taught them the truth. But they, instead of ingesting it, gave a superficial nod to Christ. And when left alone after Paul left to live out their faith, they fell back. And this is what happens to so many. They fall back to what is familiar with them rather than engaging in the truth and going forward in the unfamiliar, which is truth, especially when compared to the culture of the day. They fell back, and Paul had been there and taught them the truth and what it meant to live out the truth of Christ in a culture that was dark. He taught them how to be that light. But again, when he left, after a very short period of time, they reverted to the faith in Christ by following the old Jewish law, which is legalism. And it's following rules than following the leading of the Holy Spirit that lives within. And, you know, legalism and grace are like oil and water. They just don't mix. And the thing we need to remind ourselves is that legalism one leads to eternal life and the other to eternal damnation. Following laws and seeing that as being okay if I just do certain things is not okay with God. And that was the frustration of Paul.
Well, Nancy, you know, Paul is very passionate about living out the gospel. And when people kind of mess with that, he does not take it lightly. So what was his reaction to the church at Galatia?
Well, frankly, he was ticked off, and, you know, he didn't waste any time. He said in Galatians, you know, right away in the first chapter, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And this is for us so important. Are you foolish? Having begun in the spirit, you are now being perfected by the flesh. Did you suffer so many things in vain? Indeed, if indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. You can almost hear his frustration, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got to ask, Nancy, then I would love for you to explain this and with clarity, because when you look at ancient Israel, you look at the Hebrews of old, they were expected to try to keep the letter of the law. And we knew they couldn't. There were so many laws and they just could not do it. Then here comes Jesus with a new way. But he said he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. So what was wrong then at this point with living by the law?
Well, yeah, first of all, you know, it's interesting when we live by the law, we live by the power of the flesh. We live by what we can do ourselves without any influence of God. We just make up our own religious rules and try to stick with them. And that was his point. We live by the flesh, essentially, and it will never produce righteousness. That's the thing. The law never produced righteousness. It's the coming of the Messiah from the Old Testament perspective that produced righteousness. But the fruit that we produce for our glory and not for God, that is short-lived. And it just doesn't produce what God is looking for. We can't give glory to God in our own flesh. And then he goes on in Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? You are now being perfected by the flesh. That's what that means. It is by faith, apart from the law, that the Christ follower lives to God's glory and not our own. And we see these two different worldviews. One is by the law. The other is by faith. And that's the clash of the culture when the church first began, for sure.
Well, we see that in the distortion of the gospel. So let's talk about how we distort the gospel, Nancy. Is there a price to pay for distorting it?
There really is. And when we start telling people, if you do this and this and this and this, then you'll be saved by God. You know, if it ever comes to works that we can do ourselves to be saved, you know it's the false gospel. And I'll tell you why. Because God paid the ultimate price for us to be free from condemnation. He gave up his sinless son to die a dreadful death so that we could be with him forever. And Paul knew this. It is through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's not by religion. It's by faith in this event that happened. And by the way, there's more evidence for the death and resurrection of Christ than there is in any other point in history from the time, from the beginning of life to now. God has made it that clear. And Paul is frustrated. And he says in Galatians 1:9, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be accursed. And let me tell you, a curse means to suffer God's punishment in hell. So it is, we're not talking about a slap on the hand here. We're talking about eternal damnation. And I love what John Stott had to say here. He said, to tamper with the gospel is always to trouble the church. You cannot touch the gospel and leave the church untouched. Because the church is created and alive and lives by the gospel. Indeed, the church's greatest troublemakers now and then are not those outside who oppose and ridicule and persecute it, but those on the inside who try to change the gospel.
That is such a powerful and scary statement, those on the inside who try to change it. Man.
Right.
Well, Nancy, talk about what actually changes then, when we do begin living by the true gospel rather than to try to keep the law. Because I know people even today who, for them, rules is what it's about. I understand rules. I can keep the rules. I can check it off the list.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when we do it in the power of our flesh, I think we've all been there at times. You do this and this and this, you're totally exhausted. You join every committee you can to try to please God. And God doesn't want us to join committees necessarily unless he calls us to it. But we're trying to please God in our flesh. And I think that's why so many Christians get burned out. They're trying so hard to please God or to do what they want to do. And God says no, you know. And what happens when we begin to live by the gospel, by the truth, we begin to hear the truth and believe the true gospel, is when we have the freedom and power to live a life in a way that pleases God through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through our flesh. With the Holy Spirit residing in all believers, we'll be used by God to live and do things we never, ever thought we could do. We can now suffer, but suffer well to his glory, instead of seeing it as God's paying me back or whatever. Mm. There's so much to the Christian life when the Holy Spirit's living in us that we can go and we can speak and encourage one another in ways we never could through the flesh. In Titus 2:11 through 15, I don't hang out in Titus much, but there's just, this is a rich book. And he says here, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This is what we've been called to do, to love God and to love others and just to be those people that are lights.
Well, I tell you, Nancy, you know, those of us who are in Christ as children of God, we have something that the rest of the world doesn't have, but we definitely want them to have it, right? So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, as people who have truly believed in the death and resurrection of Christ, we are not puppets. We don't perform for God. We have a direct line of communication with him. We don't have to beg him to listen. He's with us. We can go to him anytime we want, because through the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. He's with us, and he is a breath away. You know, he comforts us in the way the world can't. He knows that we'll struggle in this world, and Jesus understands, and he promises hope in the midst of our struggles. He doesn't always pull us out. Rarely does he, really, but he's right there with us every single day. And he teaches us that suffering is a part of living well in this world. This world is broken, but the time is coming when there'll be no more pain or suffering. And in the meantime, you know, we're here to live and to live well and to love well. And you know, another thing that's so incredible, he loves it when we pray to him. He loves that when we have fellowship with him. And when we're so overwhelmed with pain and suffering that has no words, and this is the coolest thing, you know, that the Holy Spirit prays for us. He simply has us covered. To think that the Holy Spirit in us, when we get so down and so confused, he prays for us. So we have an advocate living in us. Oh, it's a huge difference than trying to live in the flesh. And we as Christians should be the most thankful people in the world. You know, we should just be those people that are fired up for Christ. The most thankful people in the world for the blessings God has given us. in those who do not believe in the death and resurrection of Christ. We have to understand that they will never be able ever to experience the true hope and joy and love that goes beyond human understanding because it comes from God. It's not manufactured by us. And as Christians, listen, we are called to go to all the world, whatever our world is. If it's our neighbors directly or wherever it is God's called us to go, we are called to go and to be that light, not to be obnoxious, but to love well, to be a light of hope that people are drawn to, because in us is the living proof of the death and resurrection of Christ. It is the gospel. It is who God created us to be. And I love Matthew 5, where he writes, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." That's what we're called to do, and it's such an exciting journey. Not easy. Not easy at all.
Well, it's
the only one that gives us hope. You know?
That is true. And that's certainly something that, you know, I find as part of my regular dialogue when I'm encouraging someone is help them find what has God put in you and then own that. And give that back to the world, because God has created you for a purpose. And so I constantly think of that. You know, don't put what God has put into you under that basket. Give that to the world so that God is glorified through you. And that's what we've been called to do. And clearly the Galatians were like, yeah, that's not our gig.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a game show. Shall I choose door A or B today?
That's right.
It's like, really? There's one door. And that's the thing, Christians, that we need to get back to sharing the gospel, the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus, you know, that
Amen.
We are forgiven. We can be who God created us to be. And if we, you know, if there are people out there that are exhausted from being Christians, just go back and think, am I really doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit, or am I manufacturing this because I feel I have to?
That is such a super great point, Nancy, and I'm glad you said it, because I was praying about that this morning. I said, you know what? God, I am so sick of me, and I'm so tired right now. What's wrong? And instantly, yes. There it was, because you're trying to do it, you know, according to rules and in the flesh, and you need to chill out. I've got it.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember exactly. The gospel, all the stuff that we hear from the pulpit, and by stuff, I'm talking about all the epistles and everything contained therein, everything the Apostle Paul said, it all stems right out of the gospel, because that's what changed everything. That's what ushered all of this in. And we make it so hard, and then we put those horrible expectations on other people. Ugh, what's wrong with us?
Yeah, we let other people put those horrible expectations on us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and I just think God sometimes is saying, it's so easy. Why are you making it so hard? I went through this. I suffered so much so you could have freedom and look at you. You know, it's just like, don't you know you're free?
Mm.
Come on.
Ugh.
And we just need to bring joy back into our lives, you know, in the lives of others. And the world is hurting. The world is so hurting. And just a hug or just an encouraging word. And sometimes to pastors, you know, they get burnt out too. They're human beings just like we are. And just to be praying for our pastors that they have the courage to speak the truth when the culture, even the religious cultures are saying, don't preach that, preach another gospel.
Yeah.
No. And so we need to be praying for them because they're under pressure to cave.
Yeah.
And it's hard for them.
It is a challenge. Well, Nancy, we can't thank you enough for this biblical worldview question of the week. We so appreciate that.
And if you'd like to get connected, if you'd like to get connected, man, yeah, like I said, I'm tired. Didn't I say that?
Did the spirit just come over you?
It did. Glory.
Wow.
My Kentucky came out. Man, get behind me, Kentucky.
Oh.
Anyway, if you'd like to get connected with Nancy and the Ministry of Anchors Away, click on the resources tab at morningswithkellyandsteve.org. It'll take you right where you need to go. Nancy, I'm glad you're back from Florida to sunny, icy Indiana. We love you. We'll chat again soon.
How can you keep your eyes on Jesus in a changing culture? Listen to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, Indiana.